Today, I just want to share some nuggets about our resurrected Savior. And then I'm going to let you go to the many brunches and dinners and lunches that you have planned today. Is that all right? Now, you wondering if I can preach it fast. I can preach as fast as you can say amen. Amen. I can preach as fast as you say amen. You may remain seated, John chapter 20. And I read verse 13, it says, "And they say unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? She says unto them, Because they have taken away my Lord, and I know not where they have laid him." Verse 14, and when she had thus said, she turned herself back and saw Jesus standing, and knew not that it was Jesus. Jesus said unto her, "Woman, why weepest thou? Whom seekest thou?" She, supposing him to be the gardener, said unto him, "Sir, thou hast borne him hence, tell me where thou hast laid him, and I will take him away." Jesus said unto Mary, she turned herself and said unto him, "Rabboni," which is to say master, Jesus says, "Touch me not, for I have not a sin, I am not yet ascended to my Father, but go to my brethren and say unto them, I ascend unto my Father and your Father and to my God and your God." I want to talk today about the resurrected Savior. Say that with me, the resurrected Savior. Amen. Thank you to all our guests who are with us today. Thank you so much for being our special guest here on today. I want to talk about the resurrected Savior. Today we celebrate the greatest day in the history of the world. We celebrate the great truth. We celebrate the great truth that Jesus Christ. Now here's the shouting part. You can shout on this one in the first 30 seconds. Jesus Christ, who was crucified, was dead, arose from the dead. That's why we've come today, to celebrate the fact that our Lord, our Savior, he whom we call Lord and he whom we call Savior, is not dead. He's alive. Now listen to me as we get ready to get happy. This truth sets Christianity apart from all other systems of belief in the world. Everything about what I just said, the fact that our Lord, our Savior, our Christ, our head, our ruler, our sovereignty is alive. That's what makes Christianity different from any other religion. Buddha died, and Buddha is still dead. Muhammad died, and Muhammad is still there. Confucius died, and Confucius is still dead. All of the founders of every religion that ever existed, they all died. Only one has risen from the dead. And if we strip Christianity of the doctrine of the bodily resurrection of Jesus Christ, then our faith is no more than that of just another religion. If Jesus did not rise from the dead, if Jesus is not alive today, then everything that Jesus did was in vain. His death was just a waste of good life. His teachings are simply the ravings of a madman. He's not dead. He's alive. If Jesus is not alive, then there is no salvation. There's no salvation. There is no hope for the world. And can't you kind of see that we need something else beyond this? Can't you see that the world is getting worse and worse and worse and worse? And everybody says what the world needs is a Republican president. Now the world is saying what we need is Donald Trump. What we need Donald Trump because he's not a part of the establishment. The young people say we need Bernie Mac because he's a socialist. The women say we need Hillary because it's history. I mean, what the world needs is Jesus. And if we don't have Jesus, you can put Trump and Hillary and Bernie Mac and all the rest of them in the White House, and it won't do us no good. Here's what I want to tell you this morning. Here's what I want to tell you that really blessed my soul as I've read the text a few times this week. Come in and listen to me. Here it is. It's right here. He lives. That's it right there. You're waiting on the rest of it, but here it is. He lives. And so it does not matter what has died in your life. It does not matter what is dying in your life. Jesus is our resurrected Savior. And he lives. And so we serve. I don't know who the Muhammad worshipers serve, but I don't know who the Buddhist worshipers serve and Confucius worshipers serve now that he's gone. But we serve a resurrected Savior. Here's what I'm trying to tell you. Come here. We have hope in this life. In other words, we always feel like it's going to get better here. And you got to feel like it's going to get better here. It's going to get better here. But if it doesn't get any better here, we don't just have hope here. We have hope beyond here. We have hope in eternity. Why? All because, not because of Holy Week, but because of the resurrected Savior. I was looking at the text today and I discovered one of the persons whose name rings out when it comes down to the resurrection is Mary Magdalene. And one of the things I noticed about Mary Magdalene was how she was portrayed throughout, how she is portrayed throughout the Bible. If there is anybody who has been wrongfully portrayed in the Bible, it's Mary Magdalene. Well, one, she's portrayed as a reformed prostitute. And there's no other way to put it. I tried to say, Lord, there's going to be children in the sanctuary today. And how do I say the Bible called her? There were those in the Bible. Now, there is a difference. I said, there's a difference. Now, some people say the church said. But there were those in the church. It ain't that the Bible said it, but there are those in the Bible. There were those who called her a reformed prostitute. Come here, let me tell you something. What I'm trying to tell you is you can have a good testimony. And folk will say, oh, I loved his testimony. And the way other folk will burn that testimony right up by saying, well, now you know. Y'all come on in here. I ain't got about 5 more minutes. Somebody will say, now you know who that is. And that's what, am I here by myself? Somebody will say, I mean, somebody get up and just sing a song and tear the church up. And you hear people outside talking, oh, that song. I heard somebody say, bless me. Whose song? You talking about the song he sung? Well, now you know who he is. And see, people will always, I don't care how much God save you. I don't care how much God deliver you. I don't care how much God set you free. I don't care how much he picks you up and how much he turns you around and how much he sets your soul on hallelujah ground. Somebody is always going to remind somebody else of who you used to be. And so when I discovered in the text, they got this woman confused. They were talking about what she may have used to be. And come in and listen to this. They're not even sure whether she was a harlot or not. You ever read the Bible and laughed at some of the stuff that you read? I read some of this and I laughed. See, what happened to Mary Magdalene? Mary Magdalene got sick. And come in, listen to me. And they didn't know what her sickness was. They didn't know the story. And you know what I've discovered about folk? When folk don't know the story, when they don't know the real story, they will make up their own story. And so I say, how did this woman who's walking with Jesus get accused of being a harlot? How did she get accused of being a prostitute? Well, she had a serious illness. And the nature of the illness, even in the Bible, it's an unspecified illness. And since they didn't know what her illness was, some of the people linked it up with demons. They said, this woman is possessed with demons. She was not possessed with demons. She was sick. And since they didn't know what her problem was, some of them assumed that her sickness was connected to sexuality. And they called her a harlot. But when you look at this text that we read today on this resurrected service, Mary is not at the house of Hodom. Mary is at the tomb. Mary is not found at the nightclub. Mary is at the tomb. But wait a minute. Mary didn't just get to the tomb when he died. Mary didn't just show up to be a spectator. Mary didn't just show up to be an agitator. Mary didn't just show up to be an instigator. Mary was there because she was devoted to Jesus. Mary Magdalene was a disciple of Christ. Jesus called her his friend. And so when I looked and I discovered, Brother Williams, that Mary was at the tomb, let me tell you what I noticed about Mary. Notice her discovery. Mary went to the tomb before daylight. It must have been Holy Week then too. And when she arrived, she discovered that the stone, you know, they put him in the tomb and they put stones there to make sure that Jesus would not get away. Because Jesus had already said, if you tear me down, if you destroy me, I'll get up in 3 days. They wasn't sure that he would get up, but they were trying to be careful that he did not get up. I'm going to jump ahead of my sermon and I'm going to ask you something right now. Aren't you glad that he got up? Notice her discovery. She gets to the tomb and discovers that the stone has been rolled away. That's a whole sermon by itself, because I'm talking to somebody in here. You see, the stone was there to keep him in, and the stone was there to keep others out. It's some stones been placed in your life to keep joy out, to keep sadness in. It's some stones been placed in your life to keep the tears flowing and to keep the happiness away. Can you tell your neighbor that the stone has been rolled away? I'm gone. I'm getting ready to go. But not only in this text do we see her discovery that Jesus is not there. I mean, I'll have Millicent Hunter say, I want one shouter, two praisers, three dancers, four runners, five jumpers. But in this text, when you discover that Jesus is not in the grave, somebody ought to get happy. Somebody ought to praise the Lord. Somebody ought to say, thank you, Jesus. Because in your life and my life, you need a resurrected Savior. But sit there if you want to. I'm going to my next point, and I only got one more after that. Not only her discovery, but notice her devotion. Peter and John, verse 11 says, Peter and John went away. It says, Peter and, here it is right here, the devotion. Peter and John went away. It says Peter and John went away from the tomb. It says Peter and John left the tomb. Folk will get tired of just hanging on to you when dark days are happening in your life. Folk will get tired of hanging on to you when trouble is around. Folk will get tired of you complaining all the time. Folk will get tired of you being in trouble all the time. Folk will get tired of you being broke all the time. Folk will get tired of defending you all the time. And the text says Peter and John went away. It says, but Mary stayed behind to weep and to mourn the loss of the Lord. No wonder Godmother Inez Andrews sang that song, Mary, don't you weep. Martha, don't you moan. Pharaoh's army got drowned in the Red Sea. Come here. I used to wonder, what did Pharaoh's army getting drowned in the Red Sea have to do with Mary weeping and Martha moaning? Well, now you do know that when Pharaoh was behind and his army was behind, Moses crossed the Red Sea on dry land with mountains on both sides and with Pharaoh and his army beside them. And Pharaoh said, we can get them now. All we got to do is go through the same sea that's dry that they crossed on. And when they crossed the Red Sea, God brought the waters from the four corners of the earth and drowned them in the Red Sea. Come here, come here, come here. You ain't got it yet. Come here. You listening in this sermon. And what the song is saying, if God can do that, I'm leaving now. I'm leaving now. But if God can do that, if God can let Pharaoh's army drown in the same water that he allowed Moses and the children of Israel to cross over on, can you help me say, God can do anything. He can raise his son up from the dead. Mary, the Bible say, Mary stayed there. And I don't care how hard life gets for you, stay with Jesus. Peter and John went away from Jesus, but Mary stayed there. I don't care if you're rich or poor, can you stay with Jesus? And so not only do we see her discovery, Jesus is not in the grave. Not only do we see her devotion, Jesus, she stays with Jesus where he was supposed to be. But in this text, it got dark for her. Notice her discovery. Notice her devotion. And I'm going home when I tell you to notice the darkness. It says Mary, even though she was with Jesus, even though she was at the tomb, she focused on the physical proof and not on the spiritual truth. She was looking for Jesus to be laying in that tomb. Jesus had already told them, if you lay me down in the tomb in 3 days, can I get a witness? In 3 days, I'll get up from the grave. And when I get up from the grave, I get up with all power. But it was dark for Mary because Mary had her mind on the physical truth. And I'm talking to somebody here this morning. God has healed your body, but you're looking at the physical part. God has healed your mind, but you're looking at the physical part. God has fixed the church, but you're looking at the physical part. You got to look at the spiritual part. Many of us live our lives like Jesus is dead. We don't have joy. We don't have excitement in our lives. We don't have the burning to worship God. And the Bible said that God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. You know what that means, don't you? It means when you can't see your blessing, still worship. When tears won't stop falling, still worship. When trouble is in your home, still worship. When sickness is in your body, still worship. I'm leaving when I tell you why we must worship the Lord. He sought us. He brought us. He taught us. He kept us. He died on the cross. But that's not how the story ends. Will you believe me when I tell you? Jesus went to Calvary. Jesus went to Calvary. I done got happy now, because when I think about Jesus, can you touch your neighbor and say, Jesus went to Calvary to save a wretch like me? Tell your neighbor, that's love. They hung him high, they stretched him wide. For me he died. Tell your neighbor, that's love. But that's not how the story ends. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. 3 days later, he rose again. Can I get a witness? Aren't you glad he rose? Aren't you glad he rose? I'm glad he rose. And when he rose with all power. He rose with all power in his hand. If you're glad about it, shake your neighbor's hand. I said, if you're glad about it, shake your neighbor's hand. I said, if you're glad about it, shake your neighbor's hand and tell them, we're here this morning because he rose. Oh, I done got happy now. But it's time to go home. Thank you, Jesus. He rose. He lives. He lives. You ask me how I know he lives. You ask me how I know he lives. I said, if you ask me how I know he lives, I ain't got to ask my mama how I know he lives. I don't have to ask daddy how I know he lives. I got educated folk in the church, but I don't have to ask you how I know he lives. He lives. He lives. He lives in me. That's how I know he lives. He lives in me. The doors of the church are open. Doors of the church are open. The doors are open. There is a hymn that says he lives. I serve a risen Savior. He's in the world today. I know that he is living, whatever men may say. I see his hand of mercy. I hear his voice of cheer. And just the time I need him, he's always near. The chorus say, he lives, he lives. Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me and talks with me along life's narrow way. He lives, he lives, salvation to impart. You ask me how I know he lives. He lives within my heart. He lives, he lives, salvation to impart. You ask me how I know he lives. He lives within my heart. One more time. He lives. Everybody, he lives, salvation to impart. He lives, salvation to impart. You ask me how I know he lives, he lives. Play it. Great. Come on, those of you who know it, sing it. Lift your voice. He lives. Salvation.